Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Now there's a right way and a wrong way to consider and make use of the miracles of the Bible. The wrong way to go about it is to think that God still raises up in this age miracle workers, and that you have to find a miracle man or a miracle woman, and you have to go to them in your affliction and to be healed of whatever it is that ails you. Oh, I can't tell you how much money has been fleeced out of the hands of the naive faithful because of religious hucksters who have convinced people that they have the apostolic powers of St. Peter and St. Paul and St. John. The wrong way to use the miracle of the Bible is to assume that since it happened then that way, it must happen now. And if it doesn't happen now, something's wrong. Now, the right way to use the miracles of the Bible is to realize that those Bible miracles that we read about and hear about are still working for us by the power of the Holy Ghost. Every word of Scripture is inspired by God. And when we read of these things, it has the same spiritual effect as it had on the people who witnessed it with their own eyes. You must understand this, all right? When you read a Bible miracle, the Holy Ghost works through that account of that miracle to give the same spiritual gifts and blessings to you as were given to the people who were standing there watching Jesus perform the original miracle. So the miracles of the Bible are still a blessing to us, and they are a blessing to us when we consider them in four different ways. All right? Four ways to think about the miracles of Jesus. Number one, they still point our attention onto Jesus and his office and his word and his work. You know, just like when this man was healed of his deafness, the people said, "He has done all things well." You see, their attention, because of the sign, the miracle, their attention was focused and riveted on Jesus and who he is and what he does. "He hath done all things well. He even maketh the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak." In other words, he is the fulfillment of the messianic prophecies that we have read since we were children. All right? So the first way that a Bible miracle is a blessing to your faith is it keeps your faith riveted on Jesus, who is the Christ, the Son of God, through whom you have eternal life. You don't have these things through your own flesh. You don't have them because the government grants them. You don't have them at all apart from Jesus. And Jesus, through these miracles, testifies to you, I am yours with all the blessings that I bring. All right? So the first way that the miracles in the Bible still work for us is they focus our faith and our attention on Jesus, His Word, and His work. Now, the second way that the Bible miracles still work for us and still bless us is that they portend the great healing on the day of glory. What do I mean by that? All right, listen. In this life, we are all subject to death. All right? We live in a fallen, sinful world. And even though as Christians we are baptized and our sins are forgiven and we have eternal life, nevertheless, we still have these mortal bodies. We still have the old Adam living in us. We still experience the weaknesses of the fallenness of this world. And even though we are the redeemed, blood-bought children of God, we're still living in this world and we're still affected by it. When Jesus came into the world, the kingdom of God in all of its power came into the world in His person. In other words, the eternal glory of God's kingdom was manifest in the person of Jesus, so that every miracle that He performed was a breaking into our space-time continuum of the glory of eternity which Jesus has come to grant us. Do you follow what I'm saying? The Bible miracles were a breaking into history of eternity. Here we are, bound by time and space. And into our midst come these eschatological end times events, right? And they bring eternity right up into our faces. So, all right, now, that's a hard concept to catch hold of, but listen, what does it mean for you? It means that you may bear with patience the trials and troubles of life. You may continue to live in hope and take comfort in the gospel of Christ, even though the world is fallen, even though there are sinners all around, even though most people hate the gospel and the word of God, and even though you have to struggle with sins and troubles and weaknesses and failings in this world, you don't have to give up in despair. The Bible miracles remind you that on the last day, there will be a great healing. All right? The Bible says in Philippians chapter 3, for this vile nature must be changed and put on immortality. Or as Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, this mortal must put on immortality, and this corruptible must put on incorruption. And so, when the Bible miracles are bringing the eternal glory of the kingdom of God right into the presence through Jesus, these miracles, therefore, show us that when we stand before the Lord on the day of the resurrection of the dead, gone will be our mortality. Gone will be our sinfulness, our weakness, and our liability to disease and suffering and death. God himself shall wipe away tears from all faces. And every miracle of the Bible is a reminder of this wonderful truth. So that when we read the miracles and see the kingdom of God at work in the person of Jesus, we are being encouraged to hang in there and to believe with all of our hearts in the great healing on the day of glory. All right, so that's two. All right, they still point our faith to Jesus, and they are in breakings and portents of the great healing on the last day. Number three. The miracles of the Bible still picture for us the spiritual blessings which the Holy Ghost grants to every Christian in this world. All right, and we could go through a whole bunch of miracles and discuss the spiritual blessings that they picture, but let's just pay attention to our text here. Our text here tells us that before anyone gave any thought to this deaf man being healed by Jesus, Jesus left the region of Tyre and Sidon, which is way up over here, and he traveled all the way down over here around the backside of the Sea of Galilee and into the region of the Decapolis. Why did he take such a long journey? Because before they were thinking about Jesus, Jesus was thinking about them and planning this miracle. And he journeyed to be there to work this miracle on this man. So the spiritual benefit number one here is that Jesus comes to us in our need in order to fill that need. Now the Bible says of this man that he was deaf and that he had an impediment in his speech. So he was deaf and he was mute. All right? And Jesus comes to him and deals with him in an interesting way. All right? Some people, I've read all kinds of commentaries who have theorized about what it means when Jesus did all these things. What kind of ceremony was he going through in order to work this miracle? No. What Jesus was doing was a very primitive form of sign language. He put his fingers into the man's ears to say, "I'm going to heal your ears." Right? He couldn't talk to the man because the man couldn't hear. So he put his fingers into his ears to draw the man's attention to his ears. All right? Then Jesus spit to draw attention to his own mouth, and he touched his tongue like this to show the man, "I'm going to do something about your speech impediment." And then he looked up to heaven as if to say to the man, "Lift up your hearts to the Lord who is gracious and merciful." And then Jesus sighed. He went, as if to say to the man, turn your troubles over to the Lord in faith. All right? So what Jesus is doing, he's not doing mumbo jumbo. He's communicating with a man who can't be communicated with in any other way. He is assuring, by means of his word, he is assuring the man of his gracious intention to help him. And then, when the communication is given, Jesus says one word, which in English is two words. Be opened. Be opened. And those were the first words that that man heard. Right? He was utterly deaf. But when the words be opened came out of the mouth of Jesus, those words opened the man's ears. And he heard, because it is the word that brings us the blessing of God. That's an important understanding, is that the blessings that God gives to us, he doesn't pour them out willy-nilly out of the blue, and we're supposed to walk around like ducks trying to get a drink of from rainwater. No. He tells us exactly where he is graciously at work for our spiritual benefit. In his word, and by extension, in his sacraments, which are verbum visibile. All right? Verbum visibile means visible words. Right? That when you are baptized, the word of God is what makes baptism a baptism, and the word of promise is given to you in the waters of baptism. It's the word that makes baptism baptism. And the same thing with the Lord's Supper. It is the word given and shed for you for the remission of sins that makes the sacrament, and that is the essence of the sacrament. We receive the true body and blood of Christ in the sacrament for the forgiveness of our sins. So, when God works graciously on us, he doesn't do it out of the imaginations of our hearts, and he doesn't do it out of the blue sky, and he certainly doesn't do it because we've gone on a pilgrimage to the Holy Land. All right? I want to be baptized in the Jordan River like Jesus was. Not me. Jordan River is a filthy place. All right? I don't want to be baptized in the Jordan River. I thank God that I was baptized at Trinity Lutheran Church in 1953. By old Pastor Baker, who has gone on to glory. Why? Because the sacrament is every bit as efficacious for our redemption as any bottle of Jordan River water. Don't be a sap and think that you can go have some super spiritual experience on some pilgrimage to some holy sight. That's not the way the Lord works. He works by means of his word. And the word of a miracle shows us that it is through his word that he opens our ears and looses our tongues so that we may hear and understand the word with faith and express our faith by confessing it and praising the Lord in the words of the scriptures and in the words of our liturgy and hymns. All right, so they still picture spiritual blessings upon us. And the last thing is this. The Bible miracles still encourage us to pray in faith for God's help in our every need. We may have financial problems. We may be sick. We may have troubles with the relationships that we have with people in this life. There are all manner of difficulties that we face as Christians living in the world. The Bible miracles assure us that the same Jesus who saves us and who gives us every spiritual benefit will also help us in our every earthly need. He will do it in His way and in His time, but He hears and will answer every proper Christian prayer. So, if we remember these four things, all right, they still testify to Jesus. They are portents of the kingdom of glory. They picture spiritual benefits that Jesus gives us in the Word, and they encourage us to pray in our trouble. If we remember that the miracles do these things even now as we read them and consider them, then we understand miracles properly and we use them rightly. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus.